Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, episode 124, He is Resurrection Life. Pastor Harley Kolderman delivered this Resurrection Day message via live stream from Fort Wayne, Indiana, on April 12th, 2020.
Try to keep it a little briefer today, but we want to welcome also those that are joining us by podcast. We have a lot of people that are joining. We've had, I forget how many thousand downloads and listens by now. It's been great to see that the Word of God is going out and touching people's hearts and lives. And as Jeremiah just shared with you briefly about Jesus is coming back soon, he really is coming back soon. In fact, a friend of mine just called me last night and told me about how Jesus really came to him in a vision just in the last couple of days, and he had a really amazing experience with him. Jesus just talking to him, and he said one of the main things that he shared with him was, "You might not know the day, you might not know the hour, but I'm telling you, it's coming soon. So we need to be ready, and we need to be found doing what Jesus has called us to do during this time, because it's daylight yet. We still have time. And while it's day, we can minister to people, we can reach out to people, and we can give them the grace of God. So our theme today is really family to family, because Jesus was concerned about families, and he loved families, and he interacted with families in a lot of ways in the Bible. So I want to share with you just a couple of things about that this morning. This is Resurrection Day, a memorial. And we want to really emphasize how Jesus brought the love of God to families that were in crisis and tragedy. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul wrote, "I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead." So the Apostle Paul was concerned that the early Christians would have such a powerful encounter with Jesus and experience his mighty power to the point where they were sensing and feeling and living in the power of his resurrection. And the goal, of course, is that we get to be raised from the dead and to be with him forever. It's an amazing, amazing event that he's talking about in those last times. And as the time gets closer and closer to Jesus coming back, it's really, really more important that we have that kind of relationship, that we have that kind of connection with God through his son, Jesus. So that was Paul's expression of his quest to know Jesus in the power of his resurrection. So the question is, what's your expression and what's my expression? And so as we share together and as we minister to people, we should have something inside of us that reaches out and touches the lives of families and brings them to know the love of Jesus and to know the plan that God has for their lives. As ambassadors for Christ, we need to step into the crisis with love for families, with God's compassion, and with the authority of the name of Jesus. So there's a lot of examples of Jesus interacting with families. Some of them, from the New Testament, you probably relate to these stories. The sons of Zebedee, James and John, and their fishing business. Jesus got involved in their fishing business. It was a family business. Their father was a fisherman. They had inherited the business, and they were running the business, even though they were possibly teenagers. An amazing encounter they had with Jesus. And then we know the story of the mother of James and John. She came to Jesus, and it was kind of self-promoting, trying to get James and John on the right hand and so forth and so on. So we see that Jesus is interacting with people like this. Or at the feeding of the 5,000, the little boy had a lunch and some fishes. He came from a family. He took the family's lunch, basically, gave it to Jesus. Jesus and the disciples began to multiply it and feed the crowds. Then there's the wedding at Cana. Jesus and mom saved the day. They set in place this first miracle of Jesus turning the water into wine. And the governor of the feast said, "Why did you leave the best to the last? You crazy people, what's wrong with you?" So we see Jesus interacting with families in this way. An amazing man this Jesus is. You know, he loves family. And then, you know, even dysfunctional families, like he ministered to the woman at the well in her dysfunction of family life. You know, he said, you've had five husbands. The guy you're living with now is not your husband. But he ministered into her life. It wasn't like a criticism. It wasn't like a condemnation. It was reaching into the reality of her life and bringing to her to a place. And, you know, amazing thing happened in that woman's life. She became a preacher instantly. She went back and she preached to the men in the village. They believed on Jesus because of what she said. Then they came to see Jesus and said, now we believe in him because we've heard him, because we've seen him. We don't believe because of your word, but we believe because of his word. So you see this amazing interaction going on all the time. He took the children in his arms and he blessed them, it says, in other places. And then there's the crisis of the widow of Nain. She's coming out with a funeral procession. Her son had died and she's a widow. And Jesus touched the coffin, the bier, and said, you know, arise. And he raised that young man from the dead and gave him back to mom. So Jesus really, really loved families. We read in Matthew chapter 8 another story about this. It says in verse 14 that when Jesus entered Peter's house, he saw his mother-in-law lying sick with a fever. He touched her hand and the fever left her, and she arose and served him. That evening they brought to him many who were oppressed by demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word, and he healed all who were sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He took our illnesses and bore our diseases. So we really get a pretty good picture of how Jesus ministered into crisis situations. And he was always reaching into the lives of families. All those people that brought people. Who do you suppose brought them? It was probably family members that somehow had encountered Jesus at one place or another or had heard about him. They're bringing family members who are sick, family members who are troubled with demon power, and he's ministering into their life. He's ministering right into the middle of their crisis. And so we see the love of Jesus, you know, for families. So I want to take a look at one particular story of this, of God's love for families, God's compassion, and the authority of Jesus that comes into it. It's a story of the raising of Lazarus from the dead. It's found in John chapter 11. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but it's really an amazing chapter to review again and again, because you really see the heart of Jesus for families. You really see the heart of Jesus for ministering in a crisis. And you can pick out some things that we as ambassadors for Christ can do in ministering into the lives of people. So the setting basically is the man Lazarus, a friend of Jesus, he was sick. He was very sick. And his sisters, Mary and Martha, had sent word to Jesus that he was sick, and that they were asking Jesus to come and minister healing to him. And so when Jesus heard about it, the Bible says that he took a couple of more days. You know, we don't really understand why did he wait a couple of days. You know, we would be like Mary and Martha. You know, what's the matter with you? Why didn't you get here sooner? And so forth and so on. But he took a couple of days for whatever the reasons were. He stayed that place and then finally he said to his disciples, okay, let's go back to Judea. And then there was a big challenge because his disciples were saying, you're crazy. You shouldn't go back there. Remember that they want to kill you. They're threatening you. And are you going to go back there again? This does not make sense. But Jesus took the challenge of crisis and the fear and the negativity and said, never mind, I'm going. This is my friend. This is a place that I need to minister into. He didn't let the crisis stop him from ministering into the lives of people. Jesus is amazing, and Jesus loves family. Jesus loves your family. Whatever's going on in your family right now, I want you to know that Jesus loves you and that Jesus cares about you and that he has an answer. He has a solution for whatever the crisis is that you're facing. It doesn't matter who you are, where you came from, where you're living. We have people from many places. We have people from Missouri. We have people from Michigan. We have people from Cuba. We have people joining us from a lot of different places today. It's amazing what this technology can do. But wherever you are, I want you to know that Jesus loves you. He loves your family. He wants to minister into your family. He cares as much about you as he did about Lazarus, about Mary, and about her sister Martha. He wants to minister to you. So anyway, he took this challenge in stride. He looked at the crisis and decided that no crisis was too big for him to step into. No challenge to his life, no threat was too great to stop him from ministering. The fear of the disciples didn't stop him, and their negativity didn't stop him. Look what Thomas, the twin, said. It says, Thomas the twin said to his fellow disciples in verse 16, he said, "Let's go and we can die with Jesus." I mean, you know, that's really, you know, an encouragement to somebody who's ministering. Okay, let's go and die too. Wow. But Jesus just took it in stride. So I'm going to focus then on the rest of the chapter. And I want you to kind of look for three major points. The first thing is never lose your love for families. Here's Jesus' expression of love for families. Verse 17, it says, when Jesus arrived at Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had already been in the grave for 4 days. Imagine that. And Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had only been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask." So here's an amazing thing. He reaches into this family, and she's making expressions of faith, even though this tragedy had struck her. Verse 23 says, Jesus told her, "Your brother will rise again." "Yes," Martha said, "he will rise when everyone else rises at the last day." But Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live, even after dying, and everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this, Martha?" So here, this crisis really produced one of the most amazing, amazing truths of the Bible about our future, about your future, about my future, about the future of our families who are in Christ. Wow. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." That's a good title for this message. Jesus is resurrection life. Amazing, amazing, amazing statement that came out of this tragedy, this crisis in a family. And then he said, Martha replied to him, "Yes, Lord," she told him, "I have always believed you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into the world." And so Jesus, when he's ministering into the lives of people, he's eliciting an opportunity for them to respond in faith. And, you know, this is an amazing story of the faith of Jesus, of the faith of these sisters who had lost their brother. And here Martha, in the middle of her crisis, finds enough on the inside of her that she can say, "Yes, Lord, I've always believed." She went back to her roots. She went back to her roots of faith because her whole life had been changed by this man. You know some other stories about Mary and Martha and some of Jesus' interaction with them. So you can understand that at this juncture, this is an amazing, amazing statement. So there you see that we should never lose our love for families. Jesus loved this family. He loved these sisters. He loved this brother. Amazing love of God came through him and touched their lives. The second thing is that you should never lose your compassion in Christ. So let's look at verse 30. Verse 30 says, Jesus stayed outside of the village at the place where Martha met him. And when the people who were at the house consoling Mary saw her leave hastily, they assumed she was going to Lazarus' grave to weep, so they followed her there. When Mary arrived and she saw Jesus, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, a deep anger welled up within him, and he was deeply troubled. "Where have you put him?" he asked them. They told him, "Lord, come and see." Then Jesus wept. The people who were with him, who were standing nearby, said, "See how much he loved him?" But some said, this man healed a blind man. Couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying? So here we see another side of Jesus. He's angry, but he doesn't let his anger stop him from ministering into the lives of people. He sees all of this stuff going on. He sees Mary weeping, and he begins to weep with her. The compassion that's on the inside of him for this family comes out in emotions that are touching even not just Mary and not just Martha, but are touching the crowd around him and causing them to interact in different ways. You know, of course, some were just saying, you know, oh, wow, he's a healer, but why didn't he do this one, you know? But the other people were saying, see how he loves this family, how much he loved this man, this brother. So you see, really, that Jesus was a person of relationships. And I think that's where God is calling us in the church today. You know, it's wonderful to be able to get together in church together and sit one row behind each other and so forth. But it's really hard to fellowship with the back of somebody's head. You know, you want to fellowship with somebody face to face. You want to have a conversation with them. You want to have some interaction with them. And so we need to get, you know, even though we've had cell groups and even though we've had some fellowship times and so forth, we need to get better at that. You know, the Bible says, don't forsake fellowshipping together as the manner of some is. So I know it's hard now with this crisis and so forth and so on to have fellowship with each other like we would like to have fellowship with each other. But when this crisis is over, we need to remember there was a crisis and we need to get back to the business of building relationships, the business of relational Christianity, the relational part of being the family of God, brothers and sisters in Christ, having moms and dads and sons and daughters. That's how Jesus built his kingdom. That's how Jesus taught his disciples to disciple others, to reach into their lives, build relationships, and to help one another in times of crisis and to be a blessing and an outreach to the world that's beyond us with the love of God so that we can bring others into the kingdom. You know, the goal is really not to take our stuff because we have to leave all of our stuff behind. You know, whatever we've done, whatever achievements we've had, all those things one day will be laid down. And the only thing we can take to heaven with us is other people. So if we miss that element and we miss the relational part of it and we miss having the compassion of God for families, we're just going to have missed it. And maybe we'll have to answer to Jesus for that because he's holding us responsible for the things that we see and that we know. The third thing is never quit walking in authority. Jesus was angry at this point, but he was still walking in amazing authority. Look at verse 38. It said Jesus was still angry as he arrived at the tomb, a cave with a stone rolled across the entrance. Verse 39, roll away the stone, he said, roll it aside. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested, Lord, he's been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible. Jesus responded, didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe? And so they rolled the stone aside. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me. But I said it out loud for the sake of these people who are standing here so that they will believe that you sent me. Then Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come out! And the dead man came out, his hands and his feet bound in grave clothes. His face was wrapped in a headcloth. And Jesus told them, unwrap him and let him go. Wow, what an amazing end to the story. The mighty authority of the power of God ministering into the life of a dead person and ministering into the lives of a family that had lost a loved one. God is certainly amazing. His love has never stopped. It never quits. So what do we take away from this story? It's probably time to close. It's time to land the plane, so to speak. But I was just really, this story has really impacted me this week. And of course, those 3 points, never lose your love for families. Never lose the compassion of God in Christ Jesus that you have on the inside of you. Never quit walking in his authority. But also remember to take heart this declaration of Jesus. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live, even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? So the question comes back to us. What do we really believe? Do we really believe that? And if we really believe that, what are we going to do about it? Are we going to minister into the lives of other families, or are we going to keep it to ourselves? Are we going to let the crisis shut us down or shut our mouths and silence us? Are we going to let the culture silence us? Are we going to let government overreach silence us? What are we going to do? Are we going to reach out to people in spite of whatever the crisis is? You know, this probably is not the last crisis you and I will see before Jesus comes back. The Bible predicts that there's going to be worse times coming ahead. He even says the love of many will grow cold. Some will depart from the faith. Lots of things will go on. Things probably get better or get worse before they get better. But that doesn't stop us. And you have to remember that when Jesus was alive, it was crisis time. He was living in a land that had been conquered by foreigners. He was living in a place where they couldn't be free to do a lot of things. But he never let that stop him from ministering. And he never let it stop his love for families and reaching out to families. So I want to challenge you this year. It's been an interesting year, 2020. I want to challenge you, like never before, let's reach whole families and bring them into the kingdom of God. You know, sometimes we talk about winning souls, and we want to win, you know, this person, that person. But what about the whole family? There's lots of examples in the Bible of this. You know, Cornelius and his household came in into contact with Simon Peter. And the Bible says when Peter began to preach the gospel to them, the power of the Holy Spirit fell on the whole group, and all of them began to speak in tongues and magnify God. Isn't that an amazing experience? Where the whole household comes to know Jesus, where the whole household gets filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's even before he had the altar call. He just was preaching Jesus to them, and while he was preaching, the Holy Spirit came into their lives. So we can have an expectation that what God did for those people, he would do for us. What he did for them, he will do for you. So if you will use your opportunities to reach into the lives of families, you're going to see whole families get saved. I want to challenge you that. And I want to close by saying, when we go to Cuba, you know, a lot of times we get an opportunities to minister to whole families. We go door to door, house to house. We minister. Adonis is with us today. Maybe before we close today, I'll have him greet you. Adonis from Matanzas, Cuba. And we go into these houses, and many times whole families are there. The last time when we were there in February, Adonis and I went to this one house, and it was an elderly couple, and there was a daughter in the house. The woman of the house seemed to be more in touch with spiritual things than the rest of the household, but inside the house there were idols, there were all kinds of the stuff that they used to worship these other idols. But she seemed to have no God, and at one point she ran into the other room, and she brought out her Bible. She had a Bible, and when she opened the cover, there were six big cockroaches that ran out of the cover. I mean, I'll never forget it. I don't know if Adonis noticed it or not, but these cockroaches just ran out of this Bible. But we were ministering in this home, and the home was a little bit substandard, and the lady was apologizing for the condition of the house, and she was saying, you know, we're going to do this, and we're going to change that, we're going to repair, and so forth and so on. But as we began to share the gospel, that man and that woman were touched by the power of God. And they both accepted Jesus. The daughter came in, and she accepted Jesus. And one of the parting words of this woman was, you know, when you leave here, you've left the blessing of God here. And when you come back, none of this idol stuff will be, none of these things for the idols will be here. I'll get rid of all of them. We didn't even talk to her about the idols. We didn't talk to her about anything about that. We just shared the love of Jesus with her, and that whole family was touched. And I could tell you some other stories. There was one family where Martha from Texas was there, and she was ministering to the, we were ministering to this family, and the lady, the grandmother, was 102 years old. And that grandmother came to Jesus. Her son and daughter came to Jesus. Her grandchildren came to Jesus. And some neighbors across the street that happened to wander in came to Jesus. It was an amazing, amazing time that we had ministering to them and seeing them get saved and get touched by the power of God. So I want to encourage you. Don't stop now. Don't let the crisis stop you. Don't let anybody stop you, but continuing to believe. I have one final scripture I want to share with you, and maybe this is the quest to know Jesus in the power of his resurrection. At least this is Paul's expression about it from Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. He said, "Yes, everything else is worthless when compared to the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus." This is Philippians 3, verse 8. He said, "For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him." Just think of that statement for just a second. Is that your goal in life? To get rid of everything just so that you can gain Christ and become one with him? You know, that can be life-changing. That can be life-altering. Maybe you won't remember the 3 points I made about reaching into the lives of families, but if you have a relationship with Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit can refresh those things in you. He said, "I no longer count on my righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ, for God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith." Verse 10, "I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead." Do you want to know him that way? Do you want to know him in the power of his resurrection like that? He said, "I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead." Maybe you're at a place where you need some resurrection inside of you. Maybe there's some dead things inside that need to go and life needs to come. Jesus is here to minister that to you this morning. You can have that if you just release faith for it. Jesus is the resurrection and the life for you today. Verse 11, "so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead." You can experience resurrection life today. Maybe you're sick. Maybe you're not feeling well. Jesus has healing for you. Maybe you've got some issues in your life that you haven't dealt with. Jesus will help you to deal with those. He will bring freedom into your life. Maybe you have financial needs or other kinds of needs. Jesus will minister into your life and show you how to get your needs met, because he's made a roadmap for you in the Bible. Sarah shared so many things that would be helpful in that. But if you follow the Word of God and use your faith in God, he will take you out of that situation and put you on a new level with him. Verse 12, he says, "I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things, that I've already reached perfection, but I press on to possess the perfection that Christ Jesus has first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing." Could you say one thing, everybody? One thing. What thing should you focus on? He said, "Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and to receive the heavenly prize for which God through Christ Jesus is calling us." Are you pressing on, friend? Are you pressing on to reach your family for Christ? Are you pressing on to reach families in your neighborhood for Jesus? Are you pressing on to reach the families in your city, your state, your region for Jesus? I hope so. Because when we press on for the race that's set before us, we've got a prize coming that God has reserved for us that has our name on it. He says, "I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God through Christ Jesus is calling us." Let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. And if you disagree on some point, I believe that God will make it plain to you. So maybe you haven't understood everything I've said this morning, and maybe some of this didn't make sense. But I invite you to let the Holy Spirit minister it into your heart and into your life. It's not so important what I've said, but it really is important what He's saying. What is He calling on you to do? What is He challenging you to do? How is He challenging you to reach family for Him? How is He challenging you to minister into the lives of people? So on this Resurrection Day celebration, I want to remind you, He isn't dead. He's alive. And the best evidence of His being alive is that He lives in you and that He lives in others around you. And maybe we're going through a crisis, but this is the time for the body of Christ to rise again. And I'll close with, there was a man many years ago that had a vision. And his vision was that in the end times, though the body of Christ was covered over with debris and all kinds of stuff and pressed down and oppressed, that there would come a time at the end of time when that body of Christ would be raised up in the power of God. And he said he saw from heaven come liquid light, and that liquid life penetrated the lives of those believers, and they got up off all over the earth. Those believers got up. And they were ministering that same light to others. And the whole world lit up. I think he was talking about the great end time revival. Maybe we're in the edge of that right now. But don't wait around for somebody else to start. Start where you are. Start today. Reach somebody in your family. If you can't go see them, call them. I know in Michigan you can't even leave your home now. So Sister Gretchen is keeping everybody house in their house. So we can shelter in place, I guess, and maybe social distance from each other. But you don't have to social distance from your family if you've got a telephone, if you've got a computer, if you've got an email, if you've got some kind of technology. So let's reach them for Jesus today. Amen. God bless you. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to close the message now and pray for you. Father, we just thank you for the blood of Jesus and for the power of Jesus' name. I ask you, Lord, that you continue to minister this word to our heart. And Father, that you will truly raise us from whatever is dead in our lives and release the life of the Lord Jesus, the one who loved families, the one who had compassion, the one who walked in authority. To release that all inside of us, Lord, so that we can accomplish the great things that you have called us to do. Thank you for appointing us for such a time as this, Lord. Help us to fulfill that vision that you have for our lives every day in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.